Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, episode 110. And thanks for tuning in. It's my goal to help you harness the power of choice to live life on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. My goal is to keep survival simple, not extreme. I don't like this to be a tinfoil hat type of show, conspiracy thinking, all that goofy stuff like that. I'm not saying that that stuff isn't possible to happen. I'm just saying it's probably not very likely. And if that kind of Armageddon, end of the world type stuff happens, then guess what? Most of our survival preps are probably going to be a little bit limiting in what's going to be able to sustain us, because if it's that bad, folks, we're in a heap of trouble. However, what I talk about on this show is how to deal with smaller disasters, or even disasters, things like losing your job, things like a weather event that either knocks out your power or knocks out services, things like a terrorist attack, things like a home invasion, things like a fire, things like some kind of a security breach on your property, things like food shortages, things like interruptions in the food supply. That sort of stuff. More practical, more common sense type subjects. And so with that, the title of today's program is Travel Light, Think Right, and Talk Straight. And, you know, I got to thinking, and I some of this is material from other sources, and I'll tell you about the sources as we get going here. But and then some of this is my own. I'm just paraphrasing some other folks. And then I'm going to throw some of my own flavor into this, because I like to talk about survival philosophy a lot. That's kind of a subject that I think is important, your survival philosophy. In other words, how do you go about it and how do you think? Because I think your thinking, the way that you process your thoughts and process your ideas, I think that goes a long way to your survivability. So travel light, think right, and talk straight. Okay? And there's also another secondary theme, kind of a sub-theme, and that is functional simplicity. I believe that if you're going to be a good survivalist, that functional simplicity is important. And I'll talk about it. I'm going to go ahead and define what I mean by functional simplicity. But I'm no survival trainer or expert or anything like that. I'm just an ordinary guy, folks, and just trying to make a living like all of you. And I just kind of talk about experiences in my own life and some of the things that I'm dealing with and the struggles that I'm dealing with. And maybe you can relate to some of them, and maybe we can have a good time learning together. So before I get into Travel Light, Think Right, and Talk Straight, I just want to go over a couple of announcements. First of all, to all of you who participated and supported this show in the Freedom Raffle, thank you very much. It is over. I just wanted to say, if you want to find out the details as to what happened, click the Freedom Raffle page at today's Survival. I'm going to leave that page up for another week or two and then take it down. There'll also be a thread on the forum. And since I'm talking about the forum, please join our forum, folks. We're up to like about 510 members now. And I'm real proud of our forum. It's a slow-growing forum, but it's well-controlled, and we don't have a whole lot of spammers. I'm doing the best I can to keep spammers and people who really don't want to contribute out of the forum. We have a lot of good people. And, you know, there's an old saying that small minds talk about things. Average minds talk about people. But great minds talk about ideas and concepts. And you see, that's what we talk about on the forum, on today's Survival Show forum. Ideas and concepts. There's some great minds on there. There's excellent people that are chiming in all the time, and they're very, very helpful, and they're very friendly. So there will be a link in the show notes for you to click if you want to quickly join our forum. It's free, and folks, use your computer as a learning tool and get involved in our forum. Also, if you want to follow me on Facebook, just search Bob Main on Facebook. You'll find me. There's also a Facebook badge at todayssurvival.com. And by the way, the website, todayssurvival.com, you'll see a Facebook badge there and a link to go to the forum, all right there in one spot. I also want to announce that I'm going to do a little bit of a joint venture with Suzanne from All in One Preparedness. She's got some excellent dehydrated foods with 27-year shelf life. And I know a lot of you who listen to the show and that are on the forum, you've been buying some of her products and have some good things to say. I'm going to do a little bit of a joint venture. I'm going to help her market her business. We're putting something together. Not really a sponsor. She's not really going to be a paid sponsor, but I do believe in her products and I do like them a lot. And so we're going to put together a little joint effort to help market each other's shows and products and so forth. But stay tuned because that announcement is coming shortly, probably in the next podcast. Okay, I think we're also going to tie some good product specials into that too. So, that's it for the announcements. I don't like to make this real commercial, but there's a couple of things that I like to get out of the way in each show. All right, first of all, let's talk about traveling light. Here's what I mean by that. I never really had a chance to talk too much about surviving while traveling, and I do a lot of traveling. Most of you know I drive 47,000 miles a year. I fly about another 50,000 miles, air miles, every year. I'm gone all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time. My family thinks it's all the time, but it's not. It's really about 3.5 days a week, sometimes 4 days a week, which is a lot. I mean, that's 50% or more that I'm gone. It's just part of what I do, folks, for my real job. Well, the fact that I travel so much also puts me sometimes in some situations where I'm in places where I'm not real familiar with the surrounding area. And so I believe in traveling light from a survival standpoint. I've been in situations that I've so many times I've lost count where I've had to be on foot. Maybe I've had to make a long trek across an airport. I've had my car break down on me before when I was on a business trip, and I had to walk a little ways to go get some assistance. And I've experienced delays in places where I had to move from hotel to a different hotel. And, you know, I've been in situations where traveling light and going as light as possible has really been a huge benefit. If you travel heavy, if you have a lot of heavy, heavy bags, I just want to say you're going to be a sorry person and sorry that you packed all that. You're going to be regretful that you packed all that if you have to go mobile. My overall philosophy is that if I'm leaving for more than 3 days, then, 3 days or less, one bag and a briefcase, that's it. You'd be amazed what you can get by with one bag and a briefcase. I mean, or a computer bag or whatever. I guess they don't not really called briefcases anymore. But I used to overpack like crazy. I mean, I really did. And you know, the vacation that my family and I took this last summer, we were real careful not to overpack. And it's really kind of a liberating experience when you don't have to be worried about lugging all kinds of luggage around all the time. You can move easier. And I want you to think about if the crap hits the fan while you're traveling somewhere. You might say, well, Bobby, you know, I need to have as many supplies with me as possible. Yeah, well, there's somewhat of an argument for that, but I think that if you're going to have to be on foot, and let's think about the scenario where you have to go somewhere, and maybe you don't have, your vehicle breaks down, you've got to go somewhere on foot. And this is where emergency bags or bug-out bags come into play, and this is where they're very helpful. If you've got to travel on foot for a while to get some help. You know, isn't it better that you can throw everything in one bag and maybe it only weighs 30 or 40 pounds and you can get, you know, you can have stuff with you that you're going to need. But not too much that it doesn't weigh you down so much. Okay? So think about that. Traveling light. I'm going to get back to that subject a little bit later in this podcast. But I also want to talk about talking straight. I think that's important. I think talking straight with other people and talking straight with yourself is an often overlooked survival skill. A lot of people live in a state of denial, and this is where I'm talking about talking straight with yourself. A little bit of self-talk. I'm a big believer in self-talk. Quietly, of course. Don't talk to yourself out loud. People might think you're a little bit strange. But self-talk. Have a little conversation with yourself once in a while and talk straight to yourself. Don't get into some kind of a state of denial. Okay? Keep your life simple and free of distractions. I'm a huge believer in that when it comes to survival. Keeping your life simple. Functional simplicity. That's the first step I want to talk about. Keep it free of distractions. Learn to say no. I've covered this on some other podcasts, but it's really important, and this is something that I've been dealing with a lot lately, is learning to say no. I have a bad habit of overextending myself, and I think it's just it's devastating, folks, when you overextend yourself. It just throws your life way out of balance. And don't be afraid to talk straight with others. Don't be offensive, but don't be afraid to tell them where you stand and where they stand and where they stand with you. Most people like a straight talker. I like to do that on this show. I had a lot of people that have sent me emails complimenting me, saying that they appreciate the frank talk and they appreciate the straight talk that I use on this show. And as you know, I don't like to use profanity on this show. I don't like to cut people down if I can help it. I have to sometimes stop myself when I start to get off on a rant. But I'm also going to tell it like it is. People seem to appreciate that. They seem to relate to somebody. And if you're the kind of person that beats around the bush, please don't do that. Don't worry about it. I think the reason why a lot of people won't talk straight is because they lack the self-esteem. That's just my personal feeling. They don't have the self-esteem. They're afraid. People are afraid of what other people are going to think. You know what? As a survivalist, folks, lose that thinking. Don't worry about what other people are going to think of you. You're never going to get anybody's approval. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. It's okay to want, but not need, other people's approval. I'll say that again. It's okay to want, but not need, other people's approval. Don't need it. Don't depend on it. Don't let it define you. And what I mean by keeping your life simple and free of distractions, I'll give you some personal examples. Lately, I've been having some challenges with my employer, and so it's making me kind of nervous. And so I'm in heavy-duty prep mode in case something happens with my job. So we've been trimming of the fat a lot. There's always fat that you can trim in your financial budget and so forth and what we're spending. So we canceled one of the cable boxes. We canceled one of our DVRs, and we canceled the cable service in our master bedroom because I just don't use it. Why pay for it? Made a big reduction in our cell phone plans lately. Just haven't been using as many cell phone minutes lately as we typically were using in the past, so we kind of reduced that. You heard me talk about organizing on the forum. We just recently completely reorganized and donated a whole bunch of stuff that we just were not using. We decluttered like crazy. You know what the end result of that is? We're able to downsize our storage unit and save $85 a month, downsizing our storage unit. Matter of fact, we might even be able to save more than that if we can downsize a little bit more in the next 30 days. Our goal is to think about what is it we haven't touched in a year? What is it we haven't used in a year? And my wife and I are finally together on that, and we're committed to getting rid of some stuff. Because you know what? I think too much stuff complicates your life. I do. I think too much stuff and the need for too much stuff complicates your life. So we're trying to get rid of some of our stuff. And you know what? One man's junk is another man's treasure. There's a lot of people who could use some of our stuff, and we're not touching it. So we're thinking, why pay to store it? Why pay to store it? Why not just donate it, take the tax deduction, which I'm going to need this year anyway, and simplify our life? And it is a liberating feeling, folks. I can't begin to explain to you how liberating it is. We did this before. We did it late last year. We actually did it a little bit earlier this year. And we're still doing it. It's never ending. It's amazing how much stuff you collect. And when you're a prepper-minded person, you know, it seems like you collect a lot of stuff. I'm just going to say be careful of that. I did a show once on stockpiling in moderation. And I'm still a big believer in that. Stockpiling in moderation. Go back and listen to that episode. Just go to todayssurvival.com and search stockpiling in moderation. I can't remember what episode number that is. I think it's real easy to get too inundated with stuff. So I just wanted to share that personal story with you. Okay, the next bit of philosophy, and I'm going to get back to traveling light and talking straight, but also thinking right. Now, I'm not going to try to tell you how to think. I'm just going to give you some suggestions. I don't want this to be a lecture or a sermon or anything like that. I'm no expert. Who am I to tell you how to live? I just want to share some things that have worked for me, and if they work for you, great. My mentor, Tom Hopkins, always taught me, take the best and leave the rest. You know, every time you listen to a podcast, go to a class, there's going to be some stuff you like that really gel with you, and then there's going to be some stuff that just doesn't work. That's why I say take the best, leave the rest. Thinking right, first of all. My mentor taught me a little philosophy a long time ago. He said, stay where you should, leave when you must, and never look back. Think about that. I'll repeat it. Stay where you should, leave when you must, and never look back. Staying where you should can basically be summed up by this. I think oftentimes, I've mentioned this in other podcasts, people have the idea that when something goes bad, they're just going to be bugging out and they're going to be taken off. I'm a big believer in bugging in and stay when you should, where you should. Now, you'll know, you'll get a feeling if there's a disaster and you got to leave. But I think most of the time, staying right put where you are and where all your preparations are and where all your supplies are and where all your familiarity is, you're familiar with the area and what's going on, usually that's the best option. But leave when you must. And this is not just talking about disasters. I'm also talking about in life. And here's what I mean. Stay in relationships when you should and leave them when you must. Sometimes relationships don't work, folks. I'm not just talking about marriage relationships. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about businesses, business relationships. Sometimes relationships just don't work out. Leave them when you must and never look back. Don't question whether it was a good idea to leave. I mean, think about it. If you leave a relationship, you've left it. If you leave a location, a home, a house, an apartment, if you leave, you've left it. Don't look back. Start new. Develop a good attitude and say, today's the first day of the rest of my life. And, you know, today one of the big disasters that hits people is job loss. And even I'm nervous about my job, folks. And so, but you know what? I've resigned myself to the fact that if it doesn't work out, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to leave. I'm going to stay when I should. I'm going to leave when I must. And I'm never going to look back. Looking back can be dangerous, it can be demotivating, and it can really mess you up. Don't let your mind play tricks and second-guessing yourself. You're an adult, you're a responsible adult, and we all make mistakes, right? Who among us has never made a mistake? But I submit this to you. You'll learn from the mistakes. There'll be learning experiences. Don't look back. Don't dwell on them. The past is a bucket of ashes. Throw it away. Okay? Admit the truth. Where are you? Admit it and deal with it. Too many people suffer from low self-esteem and they suffer from problems. And one of the things that's what holds them back. When they set survival goals. You know, a lot of them don't hit their survival goals because they're unwilling to take a chance. Taking a risk. Taking a risk is important as well. And that's part of thinking right, is learning to take risks. Calculated risks. Now, not a foolish risk, but a calculated risk. I got an interesting story here about somebody who did not take a risk when they should have. How many of you ever heard the story of Ron Wayne? Ron Wayne. Let me tell you about Ron Wayne. Ron Wayne was one of the co-founders of Apple Computers. He was the third co-founder. All right? In 1976, Apple Computers was started. And the three people that started Apple Computers were Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and a guy named Ron Wayne. Let me tell you the story about him. You don't hear much about him. Okay? And that might be... The reason you don't hear about him is because he gave back a stake in Apple Computers just 12 days after he got his stake from the partners that founded Apple. Here's the story. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ron Wayne started Apple in 1976. Ron Wayne was given a 10% stake, and the other two partners got 45% each. Now, they were quite a bit younger in age than Ron Wayne was. They were about half of his age. And Ron was kind of uneasy about that. And he was also kind of uneasy about the fact that he thought the creditors might come after him if the company, if things went bad and the company folded. So he sold himself out of the deal less than 2 weeks later. Okay, and you ready for this? Ron Wayne sold his 10% of Apple computers for $2,300. He sold out his position because he was afraid. He was afraid to take a risk. He was afraid he might be on the hook in case something happened to the company. He sold it back to his partners, 10% of Apple computers in 1976 for $2,300. Now, $2,300 was a lot of money back in 1976, but you know what? That $2,300, that 10% stake in Apple, would be worth $22 billion today. $22 billion with a B. And Ron Wayne would probably be one of the 15 or 16 richest people in the world. Today, he sells stamps, rare coins, and gold out of his house to supplement his monthly Social Security check. Today, Ron Wayne is 76 years old, and he lives in a small town in Nevada. Ron Wayne has never owned any Apple product. He recently bought his first computer, which was a Dell. And he hasn't heard from his former partners in years. His main pastime is playing penny slots in the wee hours of the morning. He holds a dozen patents, but he's never had enough capital to make money off of any of his patents. And Apple wasn't his only failed opportunity to make it big. There were at least six times in my life when I really thought I had the world by the tail, Ron Wayne says. When I thought, I have an invention here that's going to make me a fortune. Quote. And he said six times, it blew up. Okay? Isn't that amazing? You know why I say that? I tell you that story? Because Ron Wayne didn't want to take a risk. In 1976, he didn't want to take a risk. He was too afraid, and he sold out 10% of Apple. Now, you might say, well, Bob, you know, no one can predict the future. How is he supposed to know, right? Who would have thought that a personal computer would be a household item? Who would have thought that back in 1976? Well, Jobs and Wozniak did. Many other people did, too. Sometimes, folks, you have to take a risk. Sometimes you have to reinvent yourself. In tough times like this, sometimes you have to reinvent yourself. If something goes wrong in your professional life, sometimes it's time to make a change and it's time to take a little bit of a risk. Looking back on it, Mr. Wayne probably feels like maybe it wasn't quite so worth selling that portion of Apple out for just a mere $2,300. Now, don't take unnecessary risks, but don't be risk-averse either. I firmly believe that the biggest reason why companies and people don't succeed, the number one reason is because they're unwilling and afraid to take risks, to take some kind of risks. And you know, in tough times like this is when some of the greatest fortunes are made. It's when some of the greatest life-changing experiences happen. I have met many people along the way that have said, you know what, I thought that when I lost my job, my world was coming to an end, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me because now I'm doing something else that I really love and that I really enjoy. I've heard people say, you know what, I was in a bad, bad relationship and it was awful, and I thought that when that relationship ended, it was my life would never be the same. And now they say, you know what, looking back on it, it actually enriched my life. Now, I am not advocating that you just, if you're in a bad marriage, that you dump it. I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating if you're in a bad friendship that you just dump it. Yes, work it out, folks. Work it out. Don't just be dumping. Don't just be kicking it to the curb. But accept the fact that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not the end of your life. And it doesn't have to determine your survivability. You determine your survivability. You can say today's the first day of the rest of my life. I'm going to take a couple of risks. I'm going to reinvent myself. And I'm going to move on. All right, so that's a little bit on taking risks and thinking straight and admitting the truth and so forth. Okay, now before I continue with the rest of the show, I wanted to let you know that Pastor Chuck Swindoll is the pastor of the church that I go to. Chuck Swindoll is also the founder of Insight for Living. That's at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. And he inspired me to talk about this subject right here. So some of this I'm paraphrasing Pastor Swindoll. And you know, one of the things that really kind of strikes me about the message that he gave, and again, you know me, folks, I don't turn this into a religious show, so it really doesn't matter to me what religion you are, but there's a lot of things that we can learn from sermons of any type, from any religion. The message of functional simplicity is what kind of jumped out at me. And I remember in parts of what he recently said is he said, you know, traveling light is hard to do. So let's get back to the traveling light concept here for a minute. It's a tough thing to do. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are just too tempted to just continue to have a bunch of stuff all over the place. And then all of a sudden you kind of look at your life and you're in the twilight of your life. You're in the twilight of your life and you're saying, what happened? Where did all the time go? I was so concentrating, so focused on getting stuff, so focused on traveling heavy that I had to have stuff. I had to go through life with all kinds of material objects. And we get caught up in that. And I was. There was a time where I thought I had to have at least two cars, preferably three. All right? Couldn't get by unless I had two cars. And I wanted that, and I had two cars, by the way, folks, for a long time in my life. And you know what? I had to have a third one. Two wasn't enough. Today, I own one vehicle that's paid for. The other one is a company car provided for me by my company at no charge. Hey, good fringe benefit. But you know what? If I lose my job, there it goes. But we'll get by with one vehicle. And if we buy another one, it's going to be a paid-for vehicle. We're going to follow the Dave Ramsey mantra and only buy something that we can pay cash for. Even if it's a beater car that runs good enough, may not look the greatest, but if it's in decent running condition, in my opinion, it's better to not have a car payment. And even if you have to fix it up once in a while and spend a few hundred dollars a year maintaining it and fixing a few parts and replacing a few things, that's better than a $400 a month car payment. I fell into that trap when I was younger. You believe that? I was a single guy. I had to have a third car. I never did get that third car. Boy, I sure wanted it. I couldn't even afford the two that I had, but I had to have that third one. That's what I'm talking about. You can't call yourself a survivalist if that's the way that you're going to live. Do you really need three vehicles? I mean, seriously, do you really need it? I know there might be exceptions. You know, I know if a vehicle is a major part of your work and it's a good tax write-off, then I understand it might make sense to have a good vehicle just dedicated for work only. But in my own family, we're learning how to simplify our life and how to focus more on functional simplicity. And we're finding out that the number of vehicles we have doesn't matter. It's how you manage your life and how you manage your affairs that matters most. That's really what matters the most. And I think back on some of the foolish mistakes I made when I was a younger man, and I think to myself, if I had only ignored the style obligations, then probably I'd be in a different position than I am today. And everything around us, the whole world's always telling us, hurry up, get on with it, come on. You know, and everybody's so impatient. Come on, gotta have it now, gotta have it now. That's the other thing I want to talk about today. Slow down. Slow down. Don't be in such a hurry. Ron Wayne was in a real hurry to get rid of 10% of his ownership in Apple Computer because he didn't want to take a risk, because he was afraid. So he dumped it 12 days later. He was in a hurry. slow down. Slow down and stop, smell the roses, and just be patient and let things happen. This is tough. See, one of the reasons I do this podcast, folks, I've said this many times, one of the reasons I do this podcast is when I flip on this recorder and I hit the record button and I put this headset on and I start talking to you folks out there, it helps me. It helps me. Many of you I'm never going to meet. But that's okay. We have a bond. We have a bond over the internet here. We have a bond over the internet radio or whatever it is that you want to call this podcast. And we have a bond because we get on the forum and we share. You know, just recently I had a chance to meet a listener. It was great. I had a chance to meet Andrea, Penguin of Doom, on the forum. And we did an IDPA shooting match together. She posted a little note about that on the forum, and it was really cool. I don't get a chance to meet listeners very much. I hope in the future I get a chance to meet most of you, and as many of you as I can, actually. And I'm going to take advantage of every chance I get. I've had a chance to meet 40 Cal Joe when I was in Florida this summer. And trust me, I will get a chance to get to meet face-to-face and shake hands with many of you, but some of you I won't. Some of you are international listeners. Maybe we'll never get a chance to meet, but you know what? Together, through the magic of the internet and Skype and all that other stuff, we're going to go through this journey of survival together. And we're going to learn from each other, and that's one of the great things about technology today, isn't it? Isn't that cool? I mean, isn't it cool that we live in a world that allows this to happen, that allows podcasts and radio and websites and forums and YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff? I mean, I just think it's cool. All right, we have been blessed with such great technological ability today, so let's continue to take advantage of it. So next, as I continue my drive here, because if you hear a little background noise, folks, it's because I am in my car taking advantage of windshield time like I like to do. Because, you know, one of the reasons why I do this from my car, when I'm driving, especially when I'm going on a business trip or something like that, it's a great chance for me to think. I'm alone most of the time, and I can think, I can process thoughts. And I just kind of tune everything out around me. Don't worry, I am being a safe driver. I am paying attention to everything on the road like I'm supposed to be doing, but it gives me the chance to process thoughts and think and get them out to you. So that's why I do that. So I want to elaborate a little bit more here on talking straight. I think part of survival is also talking straight with other folks, because if you're going to build a group of like-minded folks, which is what I highly encourage that you make friends and get close to family members who are in the survival mindset with you. I mean, I keep thinking about the show The Colony. You know, for those of you who have been watching that TV show. Now, it's got its faults. That whole show, that whole group, they've got some faults, some bad ones. But they also do a lot of really good things. And one of the good things is, in some ways, they work well together as a team. And they almost have bonded as if they're a family. Have you noticed that? And in the most recent episode, where they were thinking that they were going to be leaving that place, and they were thinking about their exit strategy, you notice how a lot of them were pretty upset because they were going to miss each other. Because that's how people are. They're social creatures. So I encourage you to network with like-minded people, but when you do that, talk straight. Okay, talk about what's really happening. Don't beat around the bush. And when you're identifying people's skill sets, which people tend to do, you know, when you're building a group of like-minded people and people that think like you, you identify what each other's skills are, and you figure out who's good at what and who's not very good at what, and you kind of make sure that you're prepared for that. That's good. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's part of the analytical thought that goes into being a survivalist, but talk straight with each other. Don't be afraid to tell each other like it is and learn from each other. It reminds me of the old quote, I forgot where I heard it, but it's a great one, every man is my teacher. Okay, and women too. Every man, every woman is my teacher. I can learn something from everybody. But you know what I find? I don't know about you, but me, Bob Main, this is what I find about me. I can only learn from people who talk straight with me. And I guess I've developed a level of discernment, and you probably will too. you'll probably develop as a survivalist when you start to, think more analytically and you think things through a little bit more, because that's the way that we should be thinking. You'll start to realize when somebody's not talking straight with you. And you know what'll happen is you'll start to tune them out. That's what happens to me. All of a sudden, about 30 seconds into the, when I figure out 30 seconds into the conversation that they're not talking straight with me, bang, that's it. I shut them off. I tune them out. They may not know it. They may not realize that I've tuned them out, but guess what? I have. So think about that when you're conversing with each other. And some people are not going to like your straight talk. I'm serious. They're just not. You know, I'll never forget one of the first lessons I learned from my mentor. He said, the more successful you become, or the more tasks you take, or the more changes you make in your life, sometimes the fewer friends you have. Temporarily, that changes. You begin to develop different friends. You begin to develop different friends that think more like you do, and the old ones that don't think like you do, you just don't stay in touch with anymore. And that's just a fact of life, but I want to say to you that to all of you who are prepping, you've probably experienced this. And if some of you have experienced this, chime in on the forum and give us some of your thoughts. Tell us about your experiences. But, I just got distracted. I just got passed on the roadway by, it looks like about a 1968 Chevelle SS. Wow. that's a throwback. Boy, That brings back some old memories. Looks like it's about a 68 or 69 Chevelle, and he just jumped on it. So, wow, that thing can smoke. It's a nice red one, very very tastefully painted. Oh, man, wish I had one of those. Brings back old memories. Takes me back to an older day. Oh, well, I just dated myself there. But anyway, where was I? Now I'm having a brain fade here. The car distracted me, and anyway, I'll get back on track. So let me shift gears then next into functional simplicity. No pun intended there when I said shift gears. Functional simplicity, I want to elaborate a little bit more on that. It's okay to make your life simple, and you can do it and still remain functional. It kind of goes back to the earlier point I made about don't get so cluttered and don't get so caught up in having to have the latest and greatest. Sometimes things work just fine. Sometimes that 4-year-old, 5-year-old cell phone is just fine. The 5-year-old computer is just fine. All right, learn how to maintain your computer, learn how to maintain your equipment properly, and the old ones work just fine. The older car, learn how to maintain it. It'll work just fine. It'll get the job done. And as a survivalist, I think that's the most important thing that we need to remember. Just my personal opinion here. Sometimes my opinion comes out. Take it for what it's worth. You know, don't forget to take the best and leave the rest. But sometimes just, as long as something works good enough, it's okay. As long as it's simple and functional, that's all that matters. You know, I love what Dave Ramsey says. Yeah, Dave Ramsey is one of the people that changed my life. If you have never read the book Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, or if you've never gone to one of his courses, go do it. I took his 13-week course when I was living in Oklahoma City. One of his facilitators did the 13-week Dave Ramsey course up at the church that I was going to. And I got to tell you, that was a life-changing course. And it's a life-changing book. I read that book, and man, I tell you what, I just couldn't put that thing down, and it's all full of all kinds of notes and underlines and yellow highlighters and everything, and it's fantastic. And I love what Dave Ramsey says. He says, the paid-off house has taken the place of the BMW as the new national status symbol. And isn't that true? And see, that's a form of functional simplicity, if you ask me. Some people, they learn to downsize and move into a more simple house, a functional home. And for a lot of you, it's more off-grid than the old home. You're using more alternative sources of energy. For some of you, you're more into solar energy, and you're more into other ways that you can heat your home and air condition your home in alternative sources of power whenever you can, and that's great. That's simple, and that's functional. I think that's a good example of functional simplicity. You know, another good example is some people these days are being forced, you know, if they lose their job, they're being forced to take other jobs. And I know sometimes we make less money. And so when we make less money taking another job, we have to simplify our lives. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's good. It wouldn't bother me a bit if America returned back to a more simpler time of life. I think we'd all be better off for it. We'd be less raging consumers. See, I think there's been too many raging consumers in America lately. That's the problem. You know, everybody has to have, has to have, has to have. And in their lust and their thirst for having to have so much, they went into debt, they destroyed their lives, they were working two or three jobs to pay for it all. And their kids got raised by somebody else. And their marriage fell apart because they didn't spend time together. And they lost that functional simplicity of a previous day. And we can learn a lot of that from our grandparents, can't we? I mean, I'm 49, almost 49. I'll be 49 in November. Okay, so I'm talking about my grandparents' generation, which is pretty much the World War II generation. You know, those people, one of the greatest generations ever to live in the on the earth, they knew the concept of functional simplicity, didn't they? And we've gotten away from that. And a lot of survival podcasters and a lot of survival teachers, they talk about getting back to what our grandparents and our great-grandparents taught. And a lot of people teach that. Anybody that says to you that they have a unique concept and says, hey, I got a unique idea. Listen to me. I have something that's never been thought about before. Let's go back to some of the concepts that our grandparents taught. Well, that's not unique. If somebody tries to sell that to you as being something different, don't believe them, because it's not. It was a way of life for our grandparents, was it not? And it should be a way of life for us. Now, again, you know, I'm not saying don't take advantage of some of the modern technology. And that recent podcast I did on using modern technology for survival, there's some good things in there for you to think about. But just make sure that we stay functionally simple and don't get overly complicated with our lifestyle. And see, I think that's a prep. I see so many posts on forums all over the place, and you know, every once in a while a new prepper gets on there, and they put a post and they say something like, I'm new to prepping, and I'm new to the survival mentality, and that's good to see. I got to tell you, folks, I love it when I see new people getting into the prepper mentality, the survival mentality. I love it. That's great. I think that's excellent. And one of the first questions people always ask is, what's the first thing I should do? Well, I'm going to throw a little different twist, because a lot of people answer their question, they say, store food, store water, store some supplies, get out of debt, stuff like that. And I would say that probably getting out of debt should be high on your list, very high. But have you ever thought about one of your first preps should be functional simplicity? Have you ever thought about the fact that making your life more simple might be where you want to start? Because maybe some of the areas where your life is too complicated and you got too much stuff and you have too much stuff going on in your life, maybe that's what's holding you back. And maybe that's what's holding you back from achieving other survival goals. You ever thought about that? I'm just saying, I'm just submitting this to you for you to think about. If you're a new prepper, even if you're an experienced prepper, maybe at the top of your list, maybe one of the top three or four items on your list, right below storing food and storing water and getting out of debt, maybe you might want to write down two words. Those words are functional simplicity. Doing things in a less complicated way. Because you know what it'll cause? First of all, it's going to cause you to get very creative. It's going to cause you to learn how to do more with what you have. Like Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. It's going to make you learn how to do that. When you set a goal, a survival goal of saying, okay, I'm going to live a more simple life but very functional. And you know what? It doesn't always require a major change in lifestyle, folks. It really doesn't always, you know, and what is lifestyle? Let me take a moment to define that. What is lifestyle? To me, I'll tell you what my definition of lifestyle is. It might be different than yours, but here's mine. Mine is not having to worry about much. To me, that's a good lifestyle when I don't have a lot of worries. I don't care about the fancy cars. I don't care about the fancy homes, the fancy technology, the fancy TVs, the fancy guns and stuff like that. I don't care too much about that. I just don't want to have to worry much. I'm not that old. 49's very old, but I'm going to grow old real quick if I'm worrying too much. And that's where functional simplicity comes into play, because when you're not in debt a lot and you don't have a whole lot of bills to pay and your life is very functional but it's very simple and it works, you take worry off of your mind. And one of the things that I've always said is one of my goals when I retire is to cross worry off of my list. Just cross it off completely. You know, I have this long worry list. I have a money worry list, and I have a family worry list, and I have a job worry list. And I'm kind of a worrier sometimes. Too much. Someday, I would like to just cross worry completely off of my list. And I'm getting there. And it's baby steps along the way. And my family and I are kind of in sync right now, and it's really a good feeling. And maybe this precarious situation that I'm in with my job, folks, and I'm kind of in a precarious situation. There's a good chance that I may lose my job in the near future, but I'm not worrying too much. We've done a good job of prepping. We've done a good job of saving. We've done a good job of staying out of debt. We're going to be okay. I will reinvent myself if that happens. I'll reinvent myself. I'll find other stuff to do to make money. It doesn't bother me. I know that my skills, I have some skills, folks. And I know what my skills are, and I have some perfecting to do of some of them. But when that day comes when I can cross worry, all worries, off of my list, that's when I know I will have achieved functional simplicity, and that's when I will know that I have achieved one of the top goals that I've set for my survival. And I want to encourage you to do the same. I want to encourage you to travel light. I want you to encourage you to think right, and I want to encourage you to talk straight. And I want to remind you that you should stay where you should. Leave when you must, and never look back. You know, one of the other things I want to close this show with is I want to live my life, and when I die, I want to say, you know what, or right before I die, actually, I want to say to myself, I have no regrets. I gave it my all. I left it all out on the field, like you hear a lot of athletes say. I did my best, and I will hold my head high as I depart this world. And I've told you before, I'm a man of faith, and this is not a religious show, but I believe that there is life after death, and I believe in certain concepts about life after death. And when I leave this world, I want to hold my head high and say, you know what? I gave it my all. And that's what I want to encourage you to do too, folks. Give it your all. Travel light along the way. Think right. Don't be afraid to take a few risks. Don't be Ron Wayne. And talk straight. Talk straight with the people around you. Talk straight with yourself. And long for that functionally simplistic life. And I think, and I hope that I've motivated you at least to start thinking about some things. I didn't want this to be a lecture. I hope it doesn't come across that way. I just wanted it to be a thought-provoking podcast for you. So, with that, I'm going to go ahead and close the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show, where it's my goal to help you harness that power of choice, to live life the way you want, in a functionally simplistic manner, and to travel light, to think right, to talk straight, and above all, strengthen your resolve. Do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.